Good morning. Can you guys hear me? Sweet, a little bit? No, kind of, maybe? A little bit? Okay, sweet. We may have people trickling in as we get started, but I wanted to come and say good morning. I hope you guys got some sleep last night. This is your first seminar of the gathering in 2023, and I'm so glad and excited that you guys are here. You get to hear from our Global Partners team. They're going to share stories, and they're going to introduce themselves to you. But before they do that, I want to pray for you guys, and then we'll get started. So, God, thank you so much that we get to be here, that we get to learn and grow and be encouraged by the stories that are being shared and the things that they have prepared for us. So I just pray that we're encouraged and lifted up this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, here is the GP team.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming out to this workshop this morning. We welcome you. My name is Nikki Nettleton, and I serve with Global Partners as the Director of Learning and Leadership. My husband and I served on the field for 15 years in Eastern Europe. And today we're also joined by James Wen. He's our Director of Mobilization and our fearless leader, Dr. Dennis Jackson, who's our Executive Director. And the three of us are here to share with you some kingdom stories of global impact. Recently, I had the opportunity to meet with some Wesleyan leaders from South Africa as they gathered together to think through what their mission sending initiatives could look like. They want to send missionaries. Reverend Dr. Galela is the national superintendent for South Africa and Zimbabwe, and he led the group in a devotional that morning, humbly asking us to remember why, the mission behind why we've been given the Holy Spirit. And he read from Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus puts a fine point on what's really important with these words. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The good news of the rule and reign of Jesus will be proclaimed as a story, as a testimony to all peoples, and then the end will come. God's purpose and passion is very clear, and yet we live in a world where 4 out of every 10 people lack tangible access to the gospel. And this means that they don't have someone living among them who's living for Jesus and proclaiming the good news of the rule and reign of Jesus. And this drives us in Global Partners. We want to close that global gospel gap. And it seems, we live in this world that's changing so rapidly. We now have 8 billion people. The center of Christianity is shifting from the West away from us. Society, it seems like it's just falling apart, and it's easy to be overwhelmed by the way things are going and overwhelmed by the size of the task left to us. And yet today we want to learn from Paul's example in Philippians chapter 1 to rejoice and focus on the purpose and passion of Jesus, the one that he prioritized. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, even in the face of disappointment and misplaced priorities, he says this, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And in this, we rejoice. And so that's what we want to do over these next few minutes. We want to take some time to hear stories of how the gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed around the world and rejoice in that. This is going to be an act of worship for us. We're going to give God glory for the good thing that he's doing around the world and even think about what is our part in it going forward. So with that, I'm going to invite James to take us on.
Good morning again, James. We need an amen or something here. Amen after that. Amen. That's good stuff. God's good. So how many of you can remember the first time you heard the gospel? Just take a moment, reflect back, think. First time you heard the gospel. Who told you? Where were you? Anyone willing to share? When was the first time you heard the gospel?
Church.
Yep. How old were you? Remember? 6 or 7? Okay. How many of you were under 18? Yeah, a lot of hands. I want to tell you the story this morning of a woman I'll call Natasha. It's not her real name. She lives in a Muslim country, born and raised. My family and I lived in Central Asia for about 18 years in a Muslim context. And we met Natasha. She was a doctor by trade, but because of the industry, she made her most money by teaching English to all these foreigners that came over. And she, a lot of her students ended up being a lot of us who were missionaries. And we would, of course, she would teach us, but we would meet with her and have develop relationships and begin sharing the gospel and sharing the story and living Christ-like life in front of her. And this was her in her, you know, 30s and 40s for the first time ever seeing and hearing this. She had never heard it her entire life. And as she was doing this, this was happening for years, years after year after year. She's hearing these stories. She even started attending some of the house churches that were happening. But all the while, what this drove her to do was to become, she realized, I need to be more religious. And she began pursuing Muhammad even more and Islam even more and became really devout in doing the studies because that was the right thing to do according to what she knew. She had an experience one time when she was traveling internationally, and she got to where she was, and she didn't speak the language there. She was completely lost. No one met her. She was abandoned airport and just very concerned and worried and in a state of hopeless despair. And at that moment, it was like, you know, I hear about Jesus. I hear these people talking about you. If you're real, please help me because I don't know what to do. And at that moment, some man came up, and she would later say, he wasn't speaking my language, but I understood everything he said. Found out where she was, found her contact, helped her find a phone and make the call to get the connection, and an hour later she was at the place where she was supposed to be. And she said, I was sitting that night and I realized, oh, I asked for Jesus' help, and immediately it worked. There might be something to this. And she said, okay, God, I'm willing to give you a shot. I'm willing to pray. And she came back and she told her friends and what happened. And she said, I want to start following Jesus. And over the next several years, she began pursuing him and went from someone who was considered Jesus as a good man and a good teacher to someone who considered him as a prophet till 15 years later. That's the journey, 15 years, proclaiming him as the Son of God, and is now one of the strongest evangelists and house church leaders we have in the Muslim world. Just a few years ago, we had the International Conference of the Wesleyan Church. She came and represented the house churches in the Muslim world to the entire International Wesleyan Church and stood there and said, thank you so much for sending people to my country. Otherwise, I would have never heard. But there are still 9 million people in my country who have never heard, and we need more. 4 out of 10, you'll hear that phrase a lot today, 4 out of 10 in our world today are unreached and live in places where they've never heard the gospel. And it's difficult. It's hard. Why do you think it's difficult to get into some of these places? Why in today's world where we have so much technology do 4 out of every 10 people have no access to the gospel? What do you think? Anyone? I know the answers are. Just Well, you can look at the news and see a lot of things happening, right? There's wars, there's fighting, borders are controlled, visa issues. You know, sometimes I think, you know, Paul never had visa issues. Sure, he got stoned a few times. What's that compared to visa issues? No, I know a few missionaries that would trade that. Just kidding, they probably would. But there's a lot of reasons for that. Political unrest, you know, situations getting in, closed governments that won't allow it, just things that are happening that prevent places. They're hard. They're unreached because they're hard. And it's not about the fact that there are people who don't know Jesus. It's about the fact that there are people who don't have opportunity to hear about it. But thankfully, as Nikki said, the Center of Missions is transitioning, and there are other countries that are getting involved and are happening. And one of our sisters in Christ, Ariana Batista, she lives in Brazil. She leads our missions and training in the Wesleyan Church in Brazil. And she has a great story I want to share with you this morning. She tells about how God made it possible for the church in Brazil to send 18 missionaries to a Muslim part of Mozambique in 2016. But understanding that at that time, the cost of them to go was just, it seemed undoable, impossible for it to happen. The average income in Brazil today is less than $600 a month. But back in 2016, the situation was even worse. And the money just wasn't there, wasn't going to happen. The dollar was strong, and the Brazilian currency was devalued so badly that the thought of them ever being able to send the 18 was just impossible. 3 months before they were supposed to go, they were all but ready to give up, but they received a letter from Pastor Abel, who was the leader in the northern part of Mozambique. And in that letter, he wrote to them and said, "The church is so encouraged by the fact that you're coming to visit. We cannot wait to see you." And so that letter encouraged them, and they thought, we can't give up. We've got to go. So they created a banner 3 months before they were ready to go. And that banner said, it's impossible, but we're going. They made that their theme. It's impossible, but we're going. They began traveling to all the Brazilian churches. It's impossible, but we're going. And the church got behind, and the church started giving. The church raised about half of what they needed to go when it was time. And then suddenly, God did a miracle. Overnight, the dollar fell. The value of the tickets was cut in half. And they were able to buy. God using the economies of the world to do things. Amen? You say amen. Amen. And they were able to go. And when we think about missions, we think about the unreached, the hard places today. It's impossible. But we're going.
Praise God. Praise God. He is raising up a mission force from everywhere to everywhere. Everywhere to everywhere. That's something that we refer to a lot in Global Partners. It excites us to see God mobilizing, mission sending, literally from everywhere to everywhere. In October, a group of church leaders from Mozambique, Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Eswatini, formerly Swaziland, gathered together to take some significant steps to organize mission sending for their region. They reflected together on how the gospel came to them. They are so grateful for missionaries who in the early 1900s first brought the good news of Jesus to them. And yet they look at their church now and they say, why aren't we sending missionaries? We're mature. We should be sending missionaries. And they are no longer content to just be a mission field. They want to be a mission force. And so they have made it their mission, their vision, to be a responsible and faithful mission force, accelerating the spread of the gospel and making disciples from everywhere to everywhere in accordance with the Great Commission. That's the vision statement that they came up with. Topsile Twala is the national superintendent of the Wesleyan Church in Eswatini, and she defines everywhere to everywhere simply as this. It's the conviction that not only is the gospel of Jesus for everyone everywhere, so too is the Great Commission. And all have a part to play in going. So they've decided to target unreached people groups. And for this, for them, this means that they're going to be happy if the Nazarenes have moved into a neighborhood. And they're going to say, we don't need to go there. We want to go where no churches are. We want to go where people have never heard Jesus. We don't want to oversaturate already Christian communities. We want to focus on the unreached. And so they're taking the gospel to places and people who haven't heard it yet. This group of leaders divided up into their various conferences during those times and to set specific goals of how they were going to go back and cast vision and mobilize people for missions. And all three conferences realized that a key factor was going to be local church pastors and lay leaders. As go local church leadership, so goes the rest of the congregation. And so they have decided in this coming year, they're going to have a conference, a regional everywhere to everywhere event in April, specifically inviting pastors and lay leaders to come and catch the vision for missions, hoping that they will take it back and start to teach and train missions as a part of disciple making and a key element, what it looks like to be a mature church. And they're planning 2 short-term mission trips where they're hoping that the people going on these trips will be pastors who will see and experience missions firsthand, get a heart for that, and take it back to their congregations. God is mobilizing a movement from everywhere to everywhere. It's an exciting day in missions, and it's exciting for us to partner with the global church in his global mission.
So I just want to say thanks for being here today. And just as I look around the room, I know some of you personally, and I don't know some of you personally, but you're here because you do care about the world. And just that idea of 4 and 10... is something that I think needs to grip all of us. I've been so marked by that because you know, it's just a stat, but when you start thinking about it, I was sharing in Bartlesville First Church, which is a great mission church for the Wesleyan Church, and that community has 56,000 people in the county. And I was just reminded of our missionaries who are serving in one of the Eastern Balkan countries, where they're in a community of 52,000, 56,000, just about the same. And they're the only two believers in the entire community. And I shared with the congregation there in Bartlesville, can you imagine that there wouldn't be all the churches that are in this community, in this county? And can you imagine if you were one of only two believers in the entire community? What would that be like? And that's the reality of 4 and 10. It's not just that there isn't much influence or not many Christians. There are no Christians there. No Christ followers. No one to share the gospel. And certainly in these days, there's places where you can receive the gospel in the internet and things like that. But there's something about life on life. When you ask the question, how many of you remember the first time you heard the gospel? I remember very clearly. I was 15. The Sunday school teacher in my class, who was kind of boring, I got invited to church because I started dating a girl that I didn't know was the pastor's daughter of a Wesleyan church. And I only went to church because it was a free date, because my parents only let me date 2 to 3 times a week. They didn't count church as one of those dates. So I had such a pure heart back then. But I remember the Sunday school teacher coming up and saying, I found this little booklet this week, and I thought I'd just share it before I teach the lesson. And it was the Four Spiritual Laws. Anybody remember that little booklet? It starts off by saying, law number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I had never heard before in my life that God loved me. And that began a journey of months that finally I came to Christ. But somebody shared it. And there was somebody to share it. And there was a church to help me to grow and to expand my life and disciple me. And there's just all these regions. And there's no one there to share the gospel. And that's why we send missionaries. And those are hard places. You say, well, we don't see some of the fruit from that. Yeah, we don't see some of the fruit for that because there's no one there. And how do they hear unless somebody goes and sent? So we started a new initiative this year, and really we're not doing much to make it happen, except that we're calling it Global Marketplace Multipliers, because there are people who literally have a profession and end up getting transferred somewhere in the world who are Christ followers into places where there aren't Christ followers. And sometimes they have a deep passion to share the gospel, but they don't really know how to cross the barriers. So we said, we can help with that. We do cross-cultural training. We actually do that for a living. That's what we do with every one of our people. What if we could train those people in some initial training that Nikki has helped to foster and stuff, and then unleash a bunch of extra resources to the specific places they're going? But what if we could come alongside of them, help them to have prayer teams, and help them when they land to figure out how to share the gospel in that context? Because their heart's right, they want to do that, but sometimes haven't been equipped, haven't been aligned. And they could be part of this great missionary force, because they can get to places we can't get. One of those is a young gal who went with our next program, which is a young adult initiative we have to send people for 60 days into a mission experience, not just a short-term mission trip where you can kind of go and pretend that you did great mission activity and stuff like that. And there are places where you can do that are very effective. But you know, that's a short-term thing. They have to learn language. It's a full discipleship program, because we're finding more and more that there are kids that even have come through youth groups have never truly been discipled. And they're discipled in that context, and they're learning what it is to practice language, which is really hard most of the time. And it's transforming their lives. We've now had 50 people go through that. 7 of them are in long-term service now. Well, one of those went back as a marketplace multiplier. She found out she could go back as a teacher. She's a teacher. She's a trained teacher. And make a difference for the gospel. We have a doctor who is in one of the most populated countries that we can't actually identify. You might be able to guess. Who wanted to be connected to something because he's on mission. His family's on mission. And they said, could we somehow be a part of that? Because we want to network so that we're not out here alone. And we're just mobilizing people like that. You may know somebody like that. He just says, I'd love to work overseas. I was in Texas recently and sharing with a family, and Jervy Windham, who's doing a seminar here this morning, had somebody say to him, I think we need to be marketplace multipliers. My wife had a dream and told the story. I met the husband that she was supposed to move to Thailand, and she works for a major oil company. And 3 days later, after this vivid dream, and she said it wasn't just a dream, Jesus was speaking to me that I should move to Thailand. Crazy story. An opening came in her oil company to transfer, and she requested it and received it, and they're moving there right now. God's doing that kind of work, and we really believe that that's one of the unique things that God wants to do, because the mission isn't just about clergy kind of people. It's about everyone being involved, because 4 in 10 have no access to the gospel. And we can do something about that. In fact, I would encourage you, some of you have so many influence points. We're mostly clergy and family of that and stuff like that. Wow, what a difference you could make by offering that challenge to people and saying, hey, you say, I'm not a missionary. No, we're all missionaries, and there are so many places where you could go. So I just want to encourage you with that. Faith is one of those who's gone to Czech Republic now to be that. I was at the HEBACOM conference, which is the Latin America mission force. It's now like 25 years old, and they're sending missionaries now. And I met Sarah. Sarah got up and made a presentation. It was all in Spanish, but I was getting somebody translated into my ear what was going on. And I watched her share how she had gone on a short-term trip with HEBACOM to India and found out that she's a nurse and she could get a job in India as a nurse. And as she shared the passion of being able to go, being able to be sent by her country, Colombia, and part of the whole HEBACOM, 18 nations, to be sent by them, as she shared the passion of it, hey, I didn't need translation anymore. Because I saw a heart broken in the world. And she had an opportunity to go. And I thought, man, that's what it's all about. And how are they going to fund her? I don't know. I think she'll actually get a job. She'll be kind of a marketplace. But she'll be on mission fully. In fact, we talk about sometimes, I've heard people say, those people are going to have to be bivocational in ministry. Hey, welcome to the rest of the world. Like 95% of the pastors around the world in the Wesleyan Church are bivocational, trivocational, quadvocational. In fact, sometimes the only people that are full-time in ministry and paid have like 4 ministry jobs. And so they're the superintendent of a whole nation in the Wesleyan Church, and the Bible school principal and district superintendent, pastor of the church, And you add all that together and you have a few pigs and you can live, And I just think, the gospel called us to go. And what did Jesus say? Take a little bag with you with a couple of little things and trust me to supply. And that's what people are doing all around the world. They won't start with the resource of money. That's what we think of. They'll start with the resource of Holy Spirit. They'll start with the resource of faith. They'll trust that God will provide the spiritual gifts and the openings and the opportunities and the open doors that no man can close. And I couldn't be more excited about what the International Church is all about right now and how God's going to be sending everywhere to everywhere. And then I just want to say again, thank you for what you're doing. I was with Dave Hopewell this morning. Dave is right there. Dave is part of a great church in South Dakota and the missions leader there. And they're just all about sending. In fact, they really believe that sending has to be a part of everybody's character in the church. That it's not just who we are, it's what we do. It's living it out in such deep ways. And they have some really strong statements about that that make a difference, because they believe that that's part of discipleship. That if people understand sending, it transforms a church. And they just sent a couple to one of our countries that's a closed country that's difficult to get into. In fact, right now, it's difficult for people to even get visas. They got it on their first try, like residency. That's not always possible. Sometimes it's turned down. Sometimes it's second, third. Sometimes they can't even get it. And it's in a pretty turmoil time that there's a lot of people that have lost visas who are missionaries incognito there. They got it first time around. I just got a story from them that they just had 12 people over for Christmas. They've only been there since like July. had 12 people over for Christmas who are so intrigued by who they are. And they don't have a language down yet. They don't have a lot of things down yet. They haven't figured out everything. They don't even know what they don't know, you know? But these 12 people were so attracted to just their outgoing experience of just introducing themselves in the community. And they got to share Christ with those people in a first context. Hey, take it easy. Go simple. But they come out of this church and said, you know what? We want to be sending. I look around. I don't know how many of the churches represented here that you've actually sent out a missionary. Can I encourage you to pray toward that end? Because it changes your whole church when you've actually sent someone. Because missions become so real. I pastored up in Michigan, it's called All Shores now, Spring Lake Wesleyan Church. And their key layperson, strongest businessman, vice chair of the board, was sent because he answered a call when Don Bray was there and challenged and said, I think you need to go. And it was something God was doing in their lives already. They ended up going to Russia. Ron and Barb Dawson ended up dying of a heart attack, but transformed that work launching there. And the church doubled its missions giving during that season. It's now our number one Global Partners church because they started sending, and now they've sent lots of people over. Pray that that happens. It really does transform your church. It becomes real when we go, oh, we know those people. We know them. And it makes a difference. And so pray that you can be a sending kind of church. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's a key verse up there at the church. Not just as a temperature gauge, but a thermostat. That when you send somebody out, it changes the temperature of the church for missions. And so how great is that? I've been on a journey personally over the last several months. Maybe it's more than a year now. I've studied Acts, I think, 16 or 18 times last year. I used to see Acts as a strategy book. But it's not. And we call it the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's a much better definition of it. Because the apostles kind of blow it a lot of times, right? Here we are, you know, yep, missed it again, you know, until the Holy Spirit guides it and opens the door. You know, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the outermost parts of the earth. What do? They stay in Jerusalem until persecution comes, you know? And then these crazy people, lay people, go out and start sharing the gospel, right? It's so crazy. Stephen, first martyr, right? He's not a pastor. He's not one of the apostles. No, he's a lay person who's helping widows, you know? And he starts preaching the gospel and loses his life for it. When the persecution hits, Philip goes out. He goes to Samaria. And he's just a lay person. And it says he starts healing people. He'd never done that before. He was taking care of widows before, you know? And God does these miraculous things. And God opens, you know, we think sometimes the first Gentile reached is Cornelius. It's the Ethiopian eunuch. The first one to be reached as a Gentile was an African. And the full discipleship is that Jesus, or Philip starts with where the man was reading in the Old Testament, takes him through the whole story of Jesus, so much so that he knows baptism is an issue, and in the desert there's a water place to baptize, and then he goes back and opens up Ethiopia and an entire continent. That's how Holy Spirit works. And I've just been praying and saying, Holy Spirit, would you lead my life? Would you prompt me? Would you help me to listen? Would you help me to hear His voice? I trust that He's been speaking to us even this morning. And so what I'd like you to do is just in a reflection moment, for just a few moments, I'd like to encourage you to just say, Holy Spirit, is there something out of these moments that I need to hear from you about? Grateful for James, for Nikki, for the opportunity to share today. But what have we heard from him? So I want you to just take 2 or 3 minutes to reflect and say, Holy Spirit, is there something you specifically want to highlight for me? Maybe that's a call to missions. And maybe it's not a new and fresh thing. Maybe it's something you've been pondering for a while, but he's saying it's time. Maybe it's something you're thinking about that you think you need to call to missions. I was in a church service a few weeks ago in a church that my church planted. And I was standing there and I sensed there was a family I didn't know. And there was a young lady there who was really worshiping. And I just sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me, you need to go up to her afterwards and say, I wonder if God's asking you to be a pastor or a missionary. And I thought that. And so when the service was over, I went over, introduced myself to her. She doesn't know who I am, doesn't care. And I just said, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'd rather be right, maybe, or wrong, if that's true. But I believe God's asking you to be a pastor or a missionary. I don't know what will happen from that. But somebody said that to me one day. So listen for his voice. And then I'm going to break that up and ask you to just pair off or hook up with maybe three people at the most and just spend a few moments in prayer. So Holy Spirit, speak to us in any way you want to, even in this moment. And now I just would encourage you to gather with somebody, maybe with family, spouse, maybe you're next to somebody that's not drunk, ask them to join you in prayer. And maybe if you want to share just really briefly what maybe you heard from Holy Spirit. And then just pray. Go ahead and pray out loud. We'll be too loud for everything, but that's okay too. And then I'll bring you back in a few moments, okay? So pray. And Lord, we are so grateful for how you speak. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are the God of the mission. And that one day this gospel will be preached throughout this world. And all will have an opportunity to respond. We pray for those 4 in 10 regions that right now seem so closed to the gospel. We know, Holy Spirit, that you're the first and best witness. And that even now you're speaking to hearts all around the world to draw people not only to you, but to be part of this mission. And so, Lord, we pray the prayer we pray every day that you taught us to pray, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So would you pray to the Lord of the harvest that more workers would be sent? And I pray for even some in this room who might be thinking, maybe I need to go. They've already been involved in ministry. They've already given themselves to this, but maybe you're asking them to go. And Lord, we ask that you would give us, again, more workers, because the harvest is plentiful. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Thank you for this opportunity to share today. And we just are grateful for that we get to be a part of this. And that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. One day we'll be in a worshiping community made up of people from all around the world who you've reached and redeemed. And so we commit ourselves to you and to this mission. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.